For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the phone is Ricky Phillips from Styx, the bass player. And they're going to be coming to, of course, Ruth Eckert Hall before long with 38 Special. The exact date is May 13th. And there's some golf in Ricky's future as well as maybe yours. But let's find out what's been going on with Styx. How are things on the road? What's new with the band, Rick?
Well, with Styx World is always something. There's always something happening. We've got everything from Symphony Orchestra shows this year to shows with Def Leppard, shows with all kinds of different bands, including 38. And I think the body of this year has been kind of a focus on trying to hit some other markets that we haven't hit. We hit all the 8 markets in the last probably 5 years, and we miss the peeps in some of the towns in Montana and Wyoming. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Middle America, just, they seem to be our favorite audiences. They come ready to rock, and they're grateful to have you there, and we're grateful to be there. But it's just been, the past decade and more has been just, we're on the road 200 days plus a year.
Wow.
And and that's every year. This year has been kind of a retooling, and we definitely want to put some focus in getting to places we haven't been in a while.
You know, I am a pretty big Beatle geek, Ricky, and I got to tell you, I consider most of their material very, very sacred, but I don't know if you guys are doing it in this year's set list, but your version of I Am a Walrus is just absolutely stellar.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for saying that. I mean, that is, you don't trot upon that ground. You just don't. If there's some cardinal sin
rule,
that you don't do that. So when we did it, there was a reason. I mean, it wasn't just some off-the-cuff, hey, let's do a Beatles song. There's a great connection, of course, between Eric Clapton playing on My Guitar Gently Weeps and other pieces of Beatles music during the Beatles and after and with the Beatles. So we were invited to play the very first Crossroads event, which was in Dallas, Texas. And we were trying to think of a set list, putting a set list together that would fit a little bit more in conjunction with the other people performing, and specifically Eric Clapton, and that just popped up as an idea, because we'd been playing it in sound checks and just having fun. We'd play 2 minutes of it, and all of a sudden we thought, what if we actually performed that during the set? And we did, and we started playing it a little bit more often. Actually, got recorded. The recorded version everyone hears is a live recording. We didn't go in the studio to do that one. We did go into the studio to do a follow-up. Universal asked us to go in, and we actually made it's called Big Bang Theory. Styx did a record of songs that we feel kind of made us the amalgamation of the players that are in Styx, and we covered songs on an album that kind of just tip our hat. Maybe there's younger fans that we have that don't even know about some of the bands that influenced us, and it had them go back and visit some of these. But that's a long-winded version answer for you.
That's okay. When it comes to the Beatles, it's okay.
I'm with you, man. I'm so with you. If it wasn't for the Beatles, I wouldn't have learned song structure, songwriting,
yep,
note choice.
No doubt.
A lot of inverted chords that people don't even, they think they're just little mop tops flopping their heads around. If you just take one guy, Paul McCartney, and you listen to solo up his bass playing and the note choice that he uses in seemingly pop music, there's nothing trivial about it. It's deep.
Yeah.
I owe myself a lot to each one of those guys for all their contributions to music.
Some of his bass riffs are indeed like lead riffs almost. He is just a remarkable. I mean, in addition to being a singer, songwriter, and of course, a member of the band, I mean, he was such an extraordinary bass player as well. But I want to go back and talk to you. Of course, I'm sure you guys get, the big audience rush on Renegade and Blue Collar Man. But when you guys do stuff like Crystal Ball, how was the response?
It's really great. I I'm always surprised how Knicks fans, how well they know the catalog, because it doesn't seem, if we do Queen of Spades, you'll hear this one section of the crowd just go bonkers. I mean, it'll flip out. I mean, it's deep. And also, you know, Castle Walls. We, every once in a while, we'll get a chance to play a two-hour-plus set, depending on where and who else is on the bill and what we're allowed for time and all that stuff. But if we can do an extended set and we get to throw in some deep cuts, we try to mix it up. Snowblind was always one of my favorite
Knicks
songs. And we don't get to play it that, we don't get to go that deep into the catalog. But that's another one that people just seem to just love.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There's parts of the country that know this side of Knicks, which I've also found fascinating. You can tell what got airplay.
Sure, no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, I want to switch gears here if we can, Ricky, and talk about the Ronnie Montrose project that you were involved in as well, because I absolutely love Montrose. The first album, oh my gosh, everything on it was just amazing. But you're working on producing some of the last recordings with Ronnie, and tell us about the project.
Oh, God bless you, man, for even asking that question. Yeah, Ronnie was a dear, dear friend. He and I and Eric Singer, drummer from Kiss, went in and we cut tracks to 10 songs. We could never find a singer for the project, so Ronnie, excuse me, early in the morning here.
That's all right.
It was one of those things where Ronnie saw that I was off with Sticks and Eric was off with Kiss, and he said, look, I don't want this project to die on the vine because this music is too cool. Let's call it 10 by 10. We'll have 10 different singers on 10 different songs. So he started making phone calls, and Sammy Hagar jumped on board, and Edgar Winter jumped on board. Eric Martin from Mr. Big jumped on board. Davey Patterson, who was the singer in Gamma with Ronnie, he jumped on board. Mark Farner came in.
Cool.
It just began to stack. The deck really got to a place where I thought, wow, okay, this is actually going to happen. And then Ronnie passed. Ronnie passed 3 years ago, and I sort of was handed the torch to finish the project. A month before Ronnie passed, he told me he really wanted to see the 10 by 10 project finished and was excited to do it. And then he was gone. So I called up my old longtime pal, Glenn Hughes, who was somebody Ronnie had wanted to get in touch with to sing on it. And, of course, he came in and he finished off the last vocal that hadn't been sung. But the problem was that Ronnie hadn't done his guitar solos yet.
Mm.
Huge guitar all over the record. The way Ronnie writes and the way Ronnie plays guitar on basic tracks is kind of like a lead guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very alive all over the record. But the little solos that are in the middle and the little incidental lines that might be after a chorus line or something hadn't been done. So, for example, I called up Steve Lukather, and Joe Bonamassa came in for me. And, of course, Phil Collins, my dear friend from Def Leppard. And just all these guitar players just volunteered their services to come in and help out in the project. And it's completed. We're just doing final touches on mixing, and then it needs to be mastered. And we think we may have even found it at home. So things are really, really, really great there. But I can't wait for people to hear it, because Ronnie was just getting better, and you'll hear that in these recordings. He's always redefined himself, changed from songs like Town Without Pity, which was an instrumental, to Rock Candy with Montrose, and then Wild Nights with Dan Morrison, to Edgar Winter, Free Ride. I mean, all of that was a little bit, he created a style in every one of those songs that guitar players have been ripping off from ever since.
Cool, man. We'll look forward to the project. Now, you are coming with Sticks. We're talking to Ricky Phillips, bass player of Sticks, and they're going to be with 38 Special, Ruth Eckert Hall. That is going to be May 13th. Any true to the rumor, Ricky, that you're a scratch golfer?
None. There's no truth in that.
All right.
Boy, I wish I could have just said a resounding yes.
Yeah, no doubt. Don't we all? Don't we all?
I was a single-digit golfer at one point, and I was proud of that, and I golfed a lot. But usually the joke in the music industry is if the guy's golf game is up, that means he's out of work.
So true.
So, And in the last 13-plus years, I've been on the road with Styx, and my golf game has sufficiently suffered, but I still love it. I still get out there, and I still do the best I can do on that day. I love it.
Very cool. We're looking forward to seeing Styx and 30-day special and getting you out on the links with one of our listeners. Ricky, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today, and we will talk at you down the road.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.